Second Chronicles 34. Second Chronicles 34. And while you're turning there, without cheating, what was the name of the 8-year-old king we talked about yesterday? Yes, ma'am.
Josiah,
that is right. Very good. And what do we know about Josiah? What did he do when he was 8 years of age?
He became king,
and how did he, what did he do? Good king, bad king, what did he do?
He followed God.
He decided to do that which was
right.
He decided to do that which was right. Now, we just really barely got into the life of Josiah yesterday, and so we want to continue on a little bit, because when we talked about Josiah yesterday, we learned that he did that which was right, but I suggested to you that more than likely the reason he did that which was right was because someone helped him to do what was right. We know that was the case of Joash when he was 7 years of age. He did that which was right, and the Bible says that he did that which was right all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. And so it stands to reason that when your grandfather dies when you are 6 years of age, your father becomes king, and he is such a bad king that the servants kill him and replace him with you as an 8-year-old, that you didn't really have a great father to teach you. So I don't know who it was that really helped out Josiah. It might have been, in part, a little bit his grandfather. His grandfather could have been better, but overall, he desired, I think, to do what was right. But it wasn't his father, and maybe it was some of the servants who did away with his dad. I don't know, but somebody helped Josiah to do that which was right. But, you know, just being obedient, that's just entry level. That's just entry level Christianity. I mean, it's an important step of Christianity to learn to be obedient, to be able to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am. Do what you're told, obey your parents, be respectful to your pastor, be respectful to your elders. That's all very important. I do not mean to minimalize how important that is, but I'll tell you that's not enough. There are more steps that need to be taken by a young person or by an adult if they are going to please the Lord throughout their lives. And that's what we find in the life of Josiah and what we'll look at tonight. What were those additional steps? So if you found 2 Chronicles 34, if you'd stand with me, please. And I'd like to read some of the verses that we read before. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 1. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. So what 3 steps did Josiah take? Now, when we think of King Josiah, we usually think of him as the 8-year-old king. But we only get Josiah as an 8-year-old for about 2 verses. And then the Bible tells us in verse number 3 that in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, while he was yet young, he began to seek. And that was the first step that I would suggest to you tonight that Josiah took as a young man growing up for God. Now, as a kid, he was great. He was obedient. He did right. He wanted to do what was right. All of that was important. But it's not enough to just stay immature even as a human being or as a Christian. You've got to grow up. You've got to grow up not only physically, but you've got to grow up for God. And that's exactly what Josiah was doing when he grew up for God. The first step that he took was he decided himself to seek after God. Now, the Bible says this was in the 8th year of his reign. So It wasn't necessarily after 8 years. It was in the eighth year. So if you'll allow, I would say that here is a young man that was 15 years of age. You know, he's 15 years old. He's spent a number of years of his childhood obeying, doing what is right. But like we so often say to Christian young people, it is fantastic if you are obedient to mom and dad. It is fantastic if you are faithful in church, probably because mom and dad make sure that you are faithful in church. But you've got to be at a place in your life where you decide for yourself, I am going to seek after God. In Proverbs 8, the Bible says, this is wisdom speaking like a person, and it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, I think that can be left a little bit to interpretation what the early would be. Some people take that to mean, well, you should seek the Lord early in each day. I don't think that's a bad idea. My own personal habit is to read God's word first thing in the morning, basically. And I realize it doesn't work well for everyone to do that then. That works well for me. And my strategy, if you will understand this, my strategy is that I would rather be reminded what I need to be doing during the day than read what I should have done during the day. Now, I realize you could be thinking ahead for what needs to be sharpened the next day, all that kind of stuff. I get that. Now, I'm not saying one is right or one is wrong, but some people would say, well, seeking God early, that's something you do early in the day. Maybe. I think more than likely what it means is seeking God early in whatever particular situation you're in. So don't try everything else and don't try to figure out things based on your wisdom, and when all else fails, then seek God. No, don't do that. Seek God early. But I would suggest that one other possibility is for each of us as individuals to seek God early in our lives. Say, well, how early should we seek God in our lives? The earlier, the better. And so no matter where we are at tonight in our age, we ought to be sure that right now, because that's the time that we can control first, that's the time we should be seeking God. And so that's what you see Josiah did. I mean, he kept doing what was right. He did right, he did right, he did right, he did right. I don't know what all that meant, but I know that when he got to age 15, there was something that really clicked in his mind and said, I'm going to really start seeking God to do everything God wants me to do and to be everything God wants me to be. I wonder if perhaps he was influenced by one of the Psalms. Listen, if you would, to Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2, where the psalmist says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. These are some pretty great verses to help us see what seeking God is all about. The psalmist says, O God, thou art my God. Young people, if you consider yourself a young person, listen to this. It's not enough for God to be your parents' God. God needs to be your God. You need to personalize God for you. And the psalmist does that strongly. God, thou art not my pastor's God, not my parents' God. I hope that he is. I want him to be, but he needs to be your God. He needs to be your God. And he says, I will seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. You know, you need to develop a thirst and a longing for God. When you have a thirst and a hunger for something, it's something that you begin to think, I cannot live without this. And that's how you need to think about God. Yes, you can live without God, but not well, not successfully, not happily, not in a fulfilled way. You need God for every moment of your life. And he goes on to say, I want to see your power in my life. Now, I have no doubt that any young person in this room could tell me different ways that God has provided for your family, maybe for your parents, maybe for your church. But one of the most exciting things in all the world is when you as a young person come to the place where you see God work for you and you understand God answered my prayer. God provided my need. God did this for me. And that's what it means to seek after God, to say that's what I want is all that God will give to me. Now, a little trivia question. That was Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. Do you know which psalmist wrote that psalm?
David.
Good guess. David wrote a lot of psalms, didn't he? And she's right, by the way. It was David. Now, here's one reason why I think maybe that specific psalm influenced Josiah. Did you notice in our text, in verse number 2, that the Bible said that he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father? Did you notice that in verse number 3, it says, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father? Okay, well, how did he know what David did? How did he know what David thought? How did he know how David sought after God? This is not rocket science. Somebody pointed him to the Psalms. So I don't know who it was, but I do think from the text we can be very sure that a large part of what influenced Josiah to do right and then later to learn to seek after God was the very words of God that God used David, not his literal father, but his forefather, to write. I mean, David lived hundreds of years before. He wasn't his literal father, but he might as well have been, because Josiah was a chip off the old block. And just the way David had decided that he would seek God with all of his heart, also from a young age, by the way, Josiah decided the same things. And Josiah determined, I will seek after God. I saw a t-shirt this week. It was on an advertisement. There's an adult man wearing the t-shirt, and it said, my greatest childhood memory is my back not hurting. Well, I have some pretty good childhood memories, too. And I don't think this will surprise you, but you know some of my favorite childhood memories were when I was a camper at camp. Now, I didn't get to go to West Branch. I didn't get to go to the Bill Rice Ranch, but I thank God that I went to a camp led by people who loved the Lord and brought in people to preach the Bible, and it impacted my life. And I will tell you, one of my great memories at camp was being in a service. And I don't mean a specific one, I mean many times over through my years as a camper, and specifically singing one camp song that we sang today. It wasn't If Sinners Entice You, I hadn't learned that one yet. It was the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. I remember being in camp services as a kid, singing that song, and I specifically remember thinking, I really mean this. And I cannot tell you how much it would mean for me to know that there are young people in this room tonight that when you sing that song at camp, at church, walking down the street randomly, whenever, that as you sing it, you are thinking, I mean this. I am going to follow God. So the first step that Josiah took in growing up for God was he decided to seek God with all of his heart. The second step that he took was he began to separate himself from sin. The Bible says in the middle of verse 3 that in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Now, for sake of just generalizing all of this, that means all the false gods and all the places where you would go to serve the false gods. And he began to just clear them out. Verse 4 says, they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on high above them, he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images, he brake in pieces and made dust of them and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. That's pretty intense. They are melting down false gods and cutting down false groves, and they are grinding it up and taking the powder and pouring it on the graves of the people that had served them, as if to say, this got you no good. That was the attitude that he had. Verse 5, he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Now, we know from other passages of Scripture that specifically this is talking about, he actually dug up the bones of false priests, false prophets, who had been dedicated to these false gods and burned their bones and then poured that out there as well. By the way, that was something that had been prophesied 350 years before it happened. There was, if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 13 sometime, you'll find out that a prophet came by one day and he said, someday there will be a king, Josiah by name. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to burn the bones of these false prophets. That's what he did. He dug them up, burned them, boom. Prophecy fulfilled. Verse 6, and so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now, you might remember in Jewish history that Josiah was king of Judah, the southern tribes. This is after they had split with the northern tribes. But you find Judah, that Josiah was not that much interested in geographical boundaries. And so he went back up into northern Israel, into these different provinces, if you will, Naphtali, Ephraim, all these different ones. And he said, I know that we're not really all one country anymore, but we're all God's people, and you're serving false gods up here too. We're going to clean this out. I'm telling you, this was a great revival in the land of Judah and Israel that took place under the leadership, not of a preacher, but of a king who just was determined, we're going to do what's right. I'm going to seek after God, and I'm not going to put up with sin that I have any say in. And so he began to be very careful to purge out the sin that was in the land. He's age 19 now. He's still younger than some of our summer staff. And he's going throughout the land digging up dead false prophets' bones and burning them, because he was pretty intense on making sure that his kingdom would serve only God and would be completely separate from sin. Notice that he took care. The Bible says in verse number 3 that he did all these different things. He talks about purging high places, groves, carved images, molten images. I mean, if he took care of the carved images alone, that probably would have been quite a task. But he made sure to take care of all of it. He was intent on making sure he absolutely pleased the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 128 says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. It's not enough for us to be satisfied with doing a pretty good job of separating from sin. God wants us to be completely separate from sin and to not be satisfied until we are really, truly pleasing God and right with him. And so he took care. He took responsibility. Did you notice that in verse 4, that he went to these different places and they cut down these groves He had other people, of course, to help him. He didn't do all the work himself. But the Bible makes a point to say that they did it in his presence. He did not delegate other people to watch out for this. This is a 19-year-old man on a mission to purge his country from sin. And you know, whatever sin might be in our lives, it's in our presence, and it ought to be something that we take personal responsibility to learn to do what's right. Again, I say to young people in this room tonight, if you have someone helping you to do what's right, that is fantastic. But look for how you can please God all on your own. Let God speak to you directly of how God would have you to be, how God would have you to live. And I would say he took care, he took responsibility, and he took time. Now, it rolls on through there, through verse 7, and when you hit verse 18, it just says, now in the 18th year, so it moves ahead a couple of years as well. And I take this to mean that not all this happened in a day. I do remember this as a young person, as a teenager, thinking, well, I just want to figure out everything that I am not doing right and get it fixed now. And that way I can live the rest of my life, you know, like perfectly as a Christian. Well, you know what? You do want to have the intent of in your heart to say, I want to please God in every possible way. But recognize that it's not something that's going to be taken care of just in one day. We oftentimes emphasize great big decisions like surrender your life to God. And I think there's validity to that. I think it helps a lot if before you get to certain things in your life that you will face, if you have already decided, I'm going to do what God wants me to do, even if I don't know what that is yet. Okay, but I'll tell you this, that surrender is not a one-time only decision. You're going to have to surrender every day to God, every hour to God, every minute to God. It's going to take time. And as you grow up for God, he's going to show you more things, reveal more things, help you to see more things of how you can please him and be more mature in the Lord. So it's okay if it takes time. Again, I think back to my years going to camp. I think the very first important decision that I ever made at camp was that I would come back the next year. I went to camp, I think I was, I don't remember if it was before my fourth grade year or after my fourth grade year, I've forgotten, but I can tell you that when I first went to camp, I was excited and petrified. Absolutely petrified. I had to go a long way to camp. 1 whole hour to get there. In fact, the last year that I went to that camp, there was only one kid in the camp who came to camp farther, from a longer, farther distance than I did. I mean, it was far. Okay. Well, it might as well have been camp on the moon to me, because I'm in a strange cabin. Our cabins didn't even have bathrooms in them. I don't know if there were bears in the woods, but the camp director was somewhere out there in the woods and he resembled a bear. He really did. I'm still scared of him and I haven't seen him for like 15 years. I remember being so excited and scared that I actually physically got sick. Either that or it was the Mountain Dew right before I went to bed. I'm not sure. I think both were a factor. I'm just saying that it was a big deal for me to go home and say, I want to go again. But I'm glad I did. Because really, as those years went by, God worked in my heart in a lot of different ways. I don't remember all the decisions that I made at camp. I remember some of them. I remember that one of them was that I decided that I was going to go home and change some music that I had in my life. I went home and I destroyed some, are you ready for this? cassette tapes. Yeah. Pair of scissors, snip that baby, throw it in the trash, and it's done. Didn't have to burn it or nothing. I also remember that the next year I went back to camp because I had somewhere along the line come up with the same cassette tapes again. And for the second year in a row, I made the same decision. But I'll tell you what, I went home and I got rid of those tapes and I never did get them again. And I remember that it was at camp one time that I walked forward at the end of a service and there was that great big old bear right in the middle of the aisle, the camp director, I mean. And he shook my hand, about broke my hand, said, "Why did you come tonight?" You didn't dare not tell him every detail of why you came because he would stare right through you. And I said, something like this, probably a little bit like this. "I think God wants me to be a preacher." Probably something like that. And he looked at me with this look that said, "About time you figured it out." When I was a kid, my brother was my pastor. Could you imagine even the possibility of that? Your brother being your... I have totally lost my train of thought right there. No, but my brother was 14 years older than I was, and I remember that the grizzly bear, I mean camp director, came to me one day, and he said, "Hey, yes, sir, what do you call your brother at church?" "Pastor Steve." That was the truth. I called him Pastor Steve. He said, "Good." "Yes, sir." Okay. It wasn't in a service, but I made a decision right there, too. I would never not call him Pastor Steve inside the church building, which was tough because he lived in the church building, too. But whatever I needed to do, you know. I remember that I came back the year, I think it was the year after God called me to preach. And that year, a weird thing happened. My brother, the pastor, was also a Christian school teacher at a school I did not attend. I went to a public school. I had noticed the previous year that some of my teachers had some kind of odd thoughts. Now, I have a brother who, for many, many years, was a public school teacher as well, but I will tell you that some of the teachers I had were teaching things that were not true to the Bible. And even more than that, what I noticed was that my friends at school were often pulling me down. And so the previous year, my brother knew that I had a day off of school, but his school didn't have a day off. And as a joke, he said to me, "Hey, you want to go to school with me tomorrow since you're off school?" I thought about it for 3 seconds and said, "Sure." I think he did not expect that to be the answer. So he talked to our parents, and they said, "Yeah, you can go to school with you." I went. And then I went to camp that summer, and it was still in my head from about 2 or 3 months before when I had visited. And God spoke to me very clearly and said, "You need to go talk to your parents when you get home and see if they'll let you transfer to that school." Well, I can tell you that was an idea from God because I had never had any desire to go to that school. I was, up till that point, perfectly happy where I was, but I thought, well, that's what God is saying. And so I went home, talked to my parents, because I knew it was their decision, free versus cost a bunch of money. And I said, "Could I possibly go to the school?" And they said, "Well, get back with you." And they came back and said, "Yes." Now, I'm just telling you, for me, that was a big decision. Because it really helped me in ways that I don't have time to explain to you right now, but it really helped me go on a course for God. I'm just saying, it might take some time and continuing year after year, day after day, whatever God works in your heart about, but just keep separating yourself from sin, separating yourself from bad influences, and keeping yourself on a path to live for Jesus Christ. So in growing up for God, that's what Josiah was doing. He was seeking God. He was separating from sin. And the third thing that I see he was doing was staying tender to God. Now, don't you think that Josiah's done a lot? Don't you think that Josiah's done enough? Okay, I'm going to tell you the most amazing part of the story we have not even gotten to yet. Because here's what happens. The Bible says in verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, so now he is an old geezer. He's like 25, practically dead. And the Bible says that when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So he's 25 years old. He's been king for quite a while. He's in his 18th year of being king. He looks over and says, man, the temple's not looking so good. Let's send people in there to fix it up. So they go in there and they do that. And when they came, verse 9 says, to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God. They had collected money to help with the renovation, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and of all the remnant of Israel and of all Judah and Benjamin. And they returned to Jerusalem. Jump down to verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book. Hey, that's cool. What book did he find? A book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. They're cleaning up the temple and they find a Bible. That wasn't the whole Bible. The whole Bible hadn't been written, but it was part of the Bible we have today. They found the Bible. Can you believe this? Josiah has done all the stuff that he has done, and he didn't even have all the Bible. I do think he had some Psalms. Somebody had them somewhere. But there is a book of the law. They don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. They're just kind of going with what it seems like God would want them to do. Can you believe it? And so verse 15, Hilkiah answered and said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it, and they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord. Verse 18, then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Can you imagine? Josiah's like, God, I'm seeking you. God, I'm seeking you. God, I'm seeking you. God, I'm seeking you. He's done this since he was 8 years old. He's now old. He's 25 years of age. And just now they find Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All the books that actually have God's commandments in them of what they're supposed to be doing, they didn't even have them yet. Oh man, you talk about somebody who was prepared for this day. It was Josiah. And the Bible tells us in verse 19, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. Now, it doesn't mean he put them out there on the internet for people to rent his clothes from him. It means he tore them. That's what people would do when they realized, oh no, we have not been obeying God. Now you say, well, surely Josiah was obeying God. Well, Josiah was obeying God in every way he knew to obey God. But just because God's law had been lost does not mean that God's law didn't matter. And Josiah heard the words of God. Can you imagine? They're reading through Exodus about all the thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. And he's thinking, oh, wow, we have so not been doing that. And then they are reading in Leviticus and reading about these sacrifices, haven't been doing those. And they're reading about the feasts, haven't been doing those. Like, oh, man. And so Josiah just starts tearing his clothes and thinking, this is terrible. What in the world? You know, what was going on was Josiah was doing everything he was supposed to do, but he wasn't content when he had God telling him something else he's supposed to do, he took that seriously also. And he decided, I am going to stay tender, sensitive, open to what God wants me to do. Years ago, at one of our junior camps, the preacher was preaching, and a lot of times in junior camps, we just say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And that, you know, just being as simple as we possibly could be from what the Bible says. And so one time there was a kid who stepped forward at the invitation, and the person who met him in the invitation said, why did you respond in the invitation tonight? And the kid said, in response to the message he heard, quote, I've done all that. That was his answer. I love it. Straight to the point. Guilty, 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 guilty. I've done it all. Okay, the kid was like 8 or 9, just in case you're wondering. And so he said, I've done all that. And so he went and he prayed with the counselor and he got things right with the Lord that night. The next night, the preacher came back and he preached another message to juniors. And this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Whole new list. There's plenty of things, forgive me, to nail juniors to the wall with, all right? And so, boom, new list. And the same kid responded in the invitation the next night. And the guy said, why did you come tonight? And he said, quote, everything again. And I just love it. I love how simple it was for that young man, who, by the way, ended up later on staying tender to the Lord, going off to Bible college, serving as a counselor at the Bill Rice Ranch, marrying a Christian young lady, and as far as I know, still, to some extent, serving God today. Praise God. All right. But I just love the way it is an illustration of what Josiah was doing, which was staying tender. Couldn't an 8 or 9-year-old kid say, I don't need to respond tonight. I responded to 5 things last night. Well, we could be that way, or we could just say, God, everything again. Or God, here's a new way I need to get closer to you. God, here's something else I'm struggling with. God, I'm not content. And while you might feel like a lot of this message has been for young people tonight, can I stop and just especially say to us as adults, we can't just say, yeah, the young people need to decide to follow Jesus. I need to decide that today, don't you? I need to be determined that where I have gotten for the Lord is not far enough. That God has more for me. God has more growing for me to do. So growing up for God doesn't stop when you're grown up. Growing up for God is a lifelong pursuit. Never stop growing closer to the Lord. Now, the most amazing thing, perhaps, of all about Josiah. Josiah was king at age 8. Did what was right. Josiah was seeking God at age 15. Josiah was purging the land of sin at age 19. Josiah just got the law when he was 25, rending his clothes and saying, God, I want to get closer to you again. But do you know that Josiah didn't even live to the age of 40? And do you know how Josiah died? He died in battle, fighting an enemy that God never intended him to go out and fight. So the most amazing thing to me about Josiah isn't even so much that he did what was right when he was 8, but that for some unexplainable reason when he was in his 30s, at least on one bad day, he stopped seeking God. And he stopped following God wholeheartedly, and he decided to do what Josiah wanted to do. And I will tell you that when you've already passed 40, There's plenty of days when you're tempted to just say, you know what, I think I'll just hang it up and do what Troy wants to do. And we can't afford to do that. Faithful for all of our lives. Now, God is faithful completely. I am unfaithful completely. And the only way that I can stay faithful to God is to stay plugged into God. That's got to be my heart's desire. And so my question for you, my dear friends here tonight, is this. Are you tender to God now? Are you seeking God now? Whether you are 8 or 15 or 19 or 25 or an age you would prefer not to reveal. Are you tender? Are you separated? Are you seeking God? Where are you at right now in your process to grow up for God? Let's bow for prayer.